Hello, this is Nicholas Shannon Colmack, Managing Editor of the Vancouver Business Journal, and welcome to our latest VBJ podcast. Today, in our latest Let's Talk podcast, I'm here with Ken Caldwell, CEO of Papa Murphy's, located right here in Vancouver. So thank you, Ken, for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about your role with Papa Murphy's. When did you join the company?
Well, I've been with Papa Murphy's just about almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've been a big fan of Papa Murphy's for a long time. I actually always loved pizza, and I've worked in the pizza industry for about 17 years or so. And really, it was back in the 1990s that I had my first Papa Murphy's pizza and got a chance to go visit some of the Papa Murphy's stores. And honestly, when you work in the pizza industry, you're probably constantly saying, like, what would be if I started my own pizza place? What would be, you know, what would be the ideal pizza place, and how would I do things? What kind of products would I buy, and how would I cook the pizza, etc.? And when I always kind of dreamed about that working at another pizza place, the way I kind of dreamed of starting my own pizza place, Papa Murphy's does a lot of those things. Mm. Whether it's the quality of the ingredients that we use, or whether it's the fact that we focus on the freshness of the ingredients and making the pizza versus the cooking and delivering of the pizza, we kind of a unique business model. Mm-hmm. And the longer I've been in the pizza industry, the more I've respected that. So I've kind of been a big fan of Papa Murphy's for, gosh, probably 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so when they reached out to me and asked me to come be a part of the team, I was excited by the opportunity. I was working at the time at Wendy's, was not looking for employment in any way, but the opportunity to come be a part of a brand that I've always respected and loved, and the beautiful Pacific Northwest, was too much to pass up.
Mm-hmm. So, and you came from the Midwest.
That's right. I was in Columbus, Ohio, or actually a part of Columbus called Dublin, Ohio, and that's where the headquarters for Wendy's is, and had been working for Wendy's for quite some time. You know, helping them with new products and advertising, and working with you know, the Thomas family there. Got a chance to work with Dave before he passed, Dave Thomas. Mm-hmm. And then worked with Wendy Thomas in the later years, and helping develop the advertising campaign where you see Wendy in the advertising now, and a lot of new products for them. If you've had the new premium salads, or the new changes we've made to the hamburger, and the new cheeseburgers and Baconators, et cetera. Got a chance to work on a lot of great things for them as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be really interesting to hear a little bit about more the Papa Murphy's niche, because it really is one. You know, it's obviously there's a lot of competition when it comes to pizza, huge market. Can you just talk a little bit about the market dynamics and what that landscape, what it's like to be a major player in that market?
Yeah, it is. You described it very well. It's a very competitive market, the pizza category. The pizza category, depending on how you define it, is over $40 billion in sales. So it's a big category. But the big four, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, and Little Caesars, those four account for about 50% of all pizzas sold, and they account for almost 90% of all the advertising. So they really dominate the advertising. So if you're going to succeed, compete and succeed in the pizza category, it's very important that you are very differentiated from your competition, particularly if you're like we are. We're the fifth largest. Mm-hmm. With not nearly the advertising budget as our competitors. And so, but we're very fortunate because we are very differentiated. We're very different from our competition, and we're different in a number of ways. Number one, quality of product. It's really, really different. Our product is. People say, well, wait a minute. You know, everybody says they're high quality. What's different about Papa Murphy's? Well, very specific differences. One is we make our dough fresh in our stores every day. So we have fresh-made dough that we make, you know, pretty much from scratch in the stores. Nobody really does that anymore. Mm-hmm. Most all of the competition has gone to frozen dough or dough made off-site and brought in. We don't even have freezers, so we couldn't freeze dough if we even wanted to. So all of our dough is fresh. Number two is that all of our cheese is fresh grated cheese from whole milk mozzarella cheese block. So we have blocks of cheese in our stores You're not going to find that in our competitor stores. Our cheese comes in block, whole milk, mozzarella cheese, and we just put it through a grater each day and grate that cheese that we're going to use for the day. The competition, all the competition has gone to a frozen cheese, a pre-shredded and bagged cheese, and they've done that for cost reasons. Mm. And it's just a more efficient, cheaper way to do it. But quality-wise, there's just no mistake in real whole milk mozzarella cheese, freshly grated. Our vegetables all come in whole, our whole vegetables, and then we slice them the day we use them in the store. And I think that, you know, if you've ever sliced vegetables and made them for a salad and maybe made enough for two salads, one for today and one for tomorrow, the salad you eat today and those vegetables that are fresh sliced, they're just clean and they're a vegetable. You know, when you cut them and leave them for a day, even if you refrigerate it, they get that little bit of coating on them. Mm. They're just not as good or not as crisp. So we're really a believer and we're kind of stickler for that as well. So quality-wise, those are the big differences of the product. Another big key difference is we don't cook the products. So we have no ovens in our stores at all. So our product, we focus on making the freshest, best quality product we can. And then we wrap it up in simple cellophane. We have no boxes, no delivery bags, no delivery drivers. We just prepare the product as fresh as we can. We wrap it up and hand it to the consumer. They take it home, and when they're prepared for dinner, ready for dinner, they put it in their oven and cook it fresh in their oven at 425 degrees, generally. And 15 minutes later, the house smells like fresh pizza. And the advantage of that is that a couple advantages. One is the pizza's hotter because it came right out of their oven. The competition that uses delivery bags, generally they have to take that pizza, cook it in their ovens in their stores, and then they have to put it in a box. And they put that box in a heat wave bag or in a heated insulated bag. Mm-hmm. What that does is it you can never keep the pizza as hot as when you cook it fresh in your oven. Number one. Number two is it humidifies the pizza and the crust. And so if it sits inside a bag or sits inside of a box for any time at all, moisture starts to get into the crust and makes the dough more soggy and not nearly as fresh. And the pizza can actually take on the taste of the box a little bit. Our pizza is just real. We always get comments it's very, very fresh, and that's because we just make it up, you know, refrigerated. All the ingredients are all fresh produce, fresh meats, and you take it home, put it in your oven. The other advantages to cooking in your oven is not only is it hotter and fresher, but also moms and increasingly dads, stay-at-home dads, they want to serve their families, and they want to provide for their families. And when you go make a Papa Murphy's pizza, you get to make it right there, walk down the line and have it made. And after you make it, you take it home and you put it in the oven and cook it. And so when it comes out of the oven, we hear moms all the time saying, well, I like Papa Murphy's because I make that pizza and I make it and cook it for my family. I said, well, what about when you get pizza at Domino's or whatever? And they said, no, that's different. I just call a phone number and they bring it. Mm-hmm. They cook it. When I get Papa Murphy's, I make it. And so you get the credit for making dinner. Mm-hmm. And so those are two big things that are very different from our competition. The final thing, there's a lot of others, but the third big difference. Number one is quality. Number two is fresh out of your oven, cooked in your oven, not somebody else's. The third key difference is when you build a pizza restaurant, whether it's a Pizza Hut or a Domino's or Papa John's or Little Caesars, the most expensive thing in that restaurant is the pizza oven. That's an expensive piece of equipment. So it's the most expensive to buy. We don't have ovens, so we don't have to pay for that. Number two is that pizza oven is also the most expensive because you have to buy real estate or a restaurant that provides for oven hoods and being able to, you know, vent. That's more expensive. We don't have to pay for that. It's the most expensive user of utilities. A pizza oven uses more utilities than anything else in your store because you turn that oven on early in the day and it runs pretty much all day and all night in most of those restaurants. We don't have an oven, so we don't have to pay all those utility costs. It has one of the largest carbon footprints around. We don't have to worry about all that. And then also pizza oven produces and cooks and produces grease, and grease creates slippery floors and dirty floors. So we always hear consumers saying, well, your stores are so clean. Well, I think they're clean because they don't get as dirty in the first place because you don't have the grease to clean up after. And finally, pizza ovens are very expensive to maintain. They break down a lot. And they're also very expensive to insure because more employee injuries happen as a result of burns from an oven or a cleanup after an oven. So those five things make pizza ovens really expensive. And so you may ask, well, okay, you don't have to spend all that money on a pizza oven. Where does that money go? Well, we actually spend way less than our competition on utility costs, on the oven costs, on insurance costs, and all those. And we take that money and we put it into a better pizza. So there's a reason we can afford to buy artichoke hearts and sun-dried tomatoes and goat cheese and high premium fennel sausages versus the more cheap sausages. We buy sausage and meats with no fillers. Our competition puts fillers in. We use real whole milk mozzarella cheese, real fresh dough that we make fresh daily. All of that we can afford to do because we're not putting the money into the pizza ovens and all the associated costs. And therefore, you know, our profit margins are very similar to our competition. It's just the difference is our cost structure for ovens is lower and our cost structure for food ingredients is higher.
Interesting.
So,
one word that I wrote down when you were talking about your last point there was the word experience. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is that experience factor with a Papa Murphy's pizza. You talked about mom serving the family and smelling the pizza cooking in the oven, and all of that creates this vibe.
That's right. That's exactly right. It is a, we hear time and again from stay-at-home moms and increasingly stay-at-home dads that they're looking for, they're busy. You know, families are very, very busy today. People mm-hmm. are busy. Multitasking and all these things going on, and you know, iPhones and Blackberries and you know all the distractions to pull a family apart. And you know, a mom that we interviewed said this exact quote that I love, and she said, you know, I work for a living, and I work about 50 hours a week, and my husband works about 50 hours a week as well to make ends meet for our family. We have a boy and a girl, two kids. And she said, you know, at the end of the week, I can't wait to share the weekend with my family on a Friday afternoon. But also, she goes, there's a tension there between that and the fact that it's Friday afternoon. I know that when I get home, my family's going to be expecting me to provide dinner, and I want to provide dinner for them. And she says, what I love is on the nights I actually think about it and I go by Papa Murphy's, she goes, because on those evenings, on Friday evenings, I really don't feel like, after a long work week, I don't feel like planning for a meal, shopping for a meal, cooking a meal, or cleaning up after a meal. She goes, on the nights I think about it, I just, you know, go off the trail a little bit, come by a Papa Murphy's, grab a Papa Murphy's pizza, create the pizza that I know my family loves, so it's those healthy ingredients that you guys have with fresh dough, fresh cheese. I bring it home. And she goes, when I get home, she goes, I drive up the driveway, and she goes, as I come in one door, Friday night, usually I'm coming in one door, my husband's coming in another door, my son's up playing on the computer in one room, my daughter's up practicing piano in the other room. She goes, we're about as far away from each other as the north is from the south and the east is from the west. And she goes, and I walk in with a Papa Murphy's pizza, and she goes, I put it in the oven. And, you know, I put it in the oven when I'm ready, you know, not when the delivery driver comes, because I never know when that delivery driver is going to show up, you know. But when I'm ready, I put the Papa Murphy's pizza, fresh pizza, in the oven. And she says, and it's only about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden the house smells like pizza. Yeah. And she says, and all of a sudden, she goes, I don't even have to call the kids. Because my son comes in off the computer, my daughter comes in off the, you know, away from the piano, my husband comes in from one side, I come in from the other. We gather around one table, around one pizza, and she goes, and we reconnect as a family and talk about our weeks, and reconnect and share our lives with each other, and it's just us and the pizza, and it's something everybody loves. And she says, I don't mean to say I don't have any life or all that, but she goes, honestly, she goes, it's like one of my favorite moments of the week.
That's great.
And I love that story because it's like, you know, sometimes people will say, yeah, we make pizza. And I go, yeah, we do. And I love pizza. And people love pizza. But I also feel like we have a small role in kind of, if we do it right, we can actually not just be pizza, but we can be dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We can be dinner for families. And dinner is a special time. There's a lot of statistics out there that Americans are spend almost, it's very rare that Americans spend time together as a family at breakfast. It's very rare, other than weekends, that they spend any time together at lunch. But the one thing that they still hold somewhat sacred is spending time together at dinner. And what I love about it is it's not just pizza, it's dinner, is that dinner's special time. And it's hard to get a family together even at dinner time. So when you have that opportunity, you want to pick something that is, if you think about it, pizza, it truly is America, still one of America's favorite foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kids' favorite food. So you got something that automatically pleases the adults and the kids. It's favorite because of its taste. It's favorite because it's informal. You eat it with your hands. You know, everybody gets what they want. There's variety. There's selection. It's also popular because it's affordable. It's mm-hmm. affordable. And I would tell you that it's what's interesting with Papa Murphy's is we are America's favorite pizza. If you look at the different surveys, whether you look at Zagat or Nation's Restaurant News Survey, WD Partner Survey, Sandelman Associates, NPD Crest, Consumer Reports. If you look at any of those five surveys nationwide, consumers, you know, rank us number one in pizza quality, pizza taste, the pizza they'll repeat most often on, the pizza that they would recommend to friends. So we've got a real strong following. So people love our product, but I think it's for a number of reasons. One, they love the taste of the product, but also we are the highest quality pizza, and sometimes the highest quality of any category, like a Ferrari, you know, mm-hmm. it's something that hardly anybody can afford.
Sure.
But what I love about what we do at Papa Murphy's is we're the best pizza, best in quality and taste, but we are loved by people with money and people that are more challenged money-wise. And, you know, we also, you know, take EBT, people on food stamps and that really are having the most, you know, challenging time in their life, they can come in, and 15% of our business is really food stamp business that we bring in. So what's cool is people who can't afford it can still get the best quality pizza. I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that. We're not Tiffany. We're not Ferrari. We're a high quality pizza that people can afford.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the challenge though, as you know, where you mentioned the technology and the distractions, and that we are such a on-the-go, you know, society. And you can't come into Papa Murphy's to get a slice that's, you know, cooked and eat it on your way somewhere. You do have to bring it home and cook it in the oven. And,
that's right.
So I would assume it's a bit of a challenge there, but at the same time, you guys are showing that you have been able to continue to grow. So just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think there's a statistic out there, and they measure this each year. So this statistic is maybe a year or two old, but that 73% of all Americans have no idea what they're having for dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon on an average day. So nearly almost three quarters of all Americans have no idea what they're having for dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon. And that's an interesting challenge, I think, because it says that the days of, you know, maybe when we were growing up, you know, moms and parents planned out mealtime, and they had a plan to what they were going to have for each night. The fact is Americans have gotten so busy, to your point, they've gotten so busy and so much is going on, taking kids to soccer practice or swim practice or whatever, that they all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, it's mealtime. What are we going to do? And I think that is both a challenge for us and an opportunity. It's both. First, the challenge. The challenge part of it is when you're out driving in your car, and if you're one of those typical Americans, and it's now 4:30 in the afternoon, blood sugar levels are starting to drop with you and your kids, and you've got no idea what you're having for dinner, like the typical three-quarters of America. Well, a lot of times what people do in that circumstance is you're not thinking super clearly at that point in time. It's like, you know what? I just want something fast.
Yeah.
I got these kids in the back. They're starting to get a little upset, a little testy. We got to find food. We got to find it fast. Well, that's to the advantage of people like McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell, because those places are located, I call it, on the corner of Main and Broadway. Those places are located in very visible places. And as America needs more and more convenience and is not really thinking deeply about it, it's like, well, I was going to take a right-hand turn right here, go through the pickup window, less than a minute or two later, I got food and got everybody happy in this car. That's the challenge for us, because we choose purposely to locate in lower rent locations, so we have lower costs. So again, we can spend more money on our food.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't locate next to McDonald's and those kind of places, but we're back more in that kind of strip center. You have to kind of go look for us. And so that's the challenge, is how do we get people to drive by the McDonald's, drive by the Burger King, drive by even the Pizza Hut, and come on back for the real quality stuff, the Papa Murphy's pizza. And so it's so, because of that, I think it makes us work extra hard on every consumer that does make that venture back there. We got to make sure that that experience for them is the best it can be, the highest quality it can be. And what's, here's what's interesting about our brand is most of our competition, most of the pizza chains, their number one focus is young males. That's their target, is young males. They also appeal to families, but young males are their primary target. Whether you're talking to Pizza Hut, Domino's, Little Caesars, Papa John's, young males are very important to all of those companies. And the reason is that young males eat a ton of pizza. They eat a lot of pizza. So you always hear in the pizza category, well, you've got to attract young males or you don't have a business. Well, we're kind of the contrarian on that, Papa Murphy's. We're fine if young males like our product, and some do, and some can buy, but we don't really focus on them. We focus on moms. We focus on moms and stay-at-home dads who are buying for the family, and that makes us very, very different. So we're, the negative of that is young males are pretty easy to attract. You know, a lot of young males, pretty much the next shiny ball, the shiny object that runs in the room, you know, they'll chase it. And so you can get young males pretty quickly. That's the plus. But it's difficult to hold on to young males, because the next shiny object that comes along, the next new thing in town, they're going to go try that out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, moms are the challenges. Moms are difficult to get. Moms are choosy. Moms are selective. Moms read a lot before they go and make a selection, typically. But once you get moms, once you earn their trust, they're loyal to you. And our moms are incredibly loyal to us. You can go on the mommy blogs and things like that and hear moms talk about our brand, and they just love our brand. So back to your question, what I'd say is, you know, our challenge is in this society where people are making decisions at mealtime, and when they're making it pretty impulsively based on, oh my gosh, it's late, what am I doing? I'm looking for convenience. That's a challenge for us, yes. But if we go and stick to what we do best and make the highest quality pizza and satisfy mom, she doesn't forget that. Most moms and stay-at-home dads, they will, oh yeah, let's get the good stuff. You know, let's get the, that's what you'll hear them say. Well, nights I can get the good stuff. We go get, you know, Papa Murphy's. I think that there is an aspect to it. I want to go to your other part of your question, which is there is an aspect to it that you have to do something additional. You have to go and take it to your home, heat up your oven, and cook it. So it's, in that way, it sounds like it's less convenient than delivery to some people. But we hear it so funny. We hear our loyal customers say, no, actually, you're more convenient than delivery. And I'm like, what do you mean? How can we be more convenient than just picking up a phone and calling delivery? And what they, when you talk to them and ask them that question, they say, well, when I order delivery, yes, that is quick. Like pick up the phone, call Domino's or Pizza Hut or whatever, and order my pizza and hang up. That part's convenient. And it's a low stress kind of occasion. But they said, from that point forward, there's stress. And I go, well, why? What kind of stress? We talk about stress. Well, I'm never sure whether they're going to find my house. We've had times where they couldn't find our house and the pizza was way late. Don't know what time the pizza is going to come. So I'm like waiting for that doorbell to ring, and when's it going to show up? I'm not sure. It's a stranger coming to my door. I don't really like that. Moms don't like that. They never want their kids to answer the door, for instance. They want to answer it, or they have their husband answer it. That's inconvenient, you know? And when's he going to arrive? What am I going to, I got to stand by the door and wait around until they arrive. And then the orders are a lot of times wrong. And if it's wrong at the door, oh my gosh, do I got to wait and do this whole cycle again and risk this all over again when I could have got it right the first time? So there's a lot of inconvenience to that delivery occasion. Our occasion is a controlled occasion. So moms that like to have a lot of control can go to the store, make their own pizza with the unit, make it like they want. They take it home. It doesn't get shaken around inside of a car moving very quickly, a delivery vehicle. And they can bring it home, put it in the oven, cook it right to their, the way that they like it. And it's funny. We hear moms all the time that'll say, well, I know your baking directions say 15 minutes, but I like to bake it for 12 minutes in the tray, just like you guys say. But then at 12 minutes, I open the oven up, I back it down to 350. I take it out of the tray. I lay it on the rack and finish it off for 6 minutes. And she goes, that's my secret recipe. And when you hear mom say that, what they're really saying to you is there's a convenience. There's a I'm cooking this pizza. Mm-hmm. Not Domino's, not pizza. I'm making it my own.
Yeah.
I got the special way that I do it, you know. And I love hearing that from them. So that's in a way, it's the way you define convenience. Mm-hmm. And I think that for some, it's not for everybody, but for some, we are actually a more convenient solution depending on how you define convenience.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear a little bit from you about the marketing side, because I think, you know, Papa Murphy's and other pizza companies for that matter, it's really an interesting balance between maybe some of the more traditional types of marketing, like direct mail and, you know, that print advertisement. But then obviously you guys have a digital presence as well. So can you talk a little bit about that balance and what Papa Murphy's is finding to be the recipe for success when it comes to marketing?
So yeah, on marketing wise, you're right. It is a very different world out there than it was just even 10, 15 years ago. In terms of how you reach and connect with the consumers that are out there. And I think, though, that while it's challenging, I actually think it might even be to our advantage at Papa Murphy's. And let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, broadly, one of the big changes is the fragmentation of the media message and the marketing message, meaning that I can remember, I mean, make me sound very old, but back in the 80s, when I started in the pizza category, we would launch a new product. So I worked on the team that created Stuffed Crust Pizza for Pizza Hut. And so we create Stuffed Crust Pizza, we put it out nationally. When we launched that pizza nationally with the Donald Trump and Ivana Trump ads and the pizza so good you'll eat it backwards, crust first, when we put that whole thing together and launched it, in order to launch it with a big bang, we did what we called a roadblock. We bought ABC, CBS, and NBC. We bought all three stations at the time, 80s. And all of a sudden we said, well, you know, real, you know, in an arrogant way, well, we've got it covered. You know, all of America are going to hear tonight. You can't be on a station without hearing about Stuffed Crust Pizza. And that was in the, you know, 80s, early 90s. You could do that. The world has changed a lot. You could do that same roadblock now and do all three stations, and you'd only have a small fragment of all of America. So you have to go way beyond TV, and you have to participate in social media and in direct mail and in all kinds of other ways to connect with your consumers and to get the message out. And I said that sounds like a negative, and it is a challenge because your dollars, it's just harder. You've got to really be very strategic about how every dollar is spent against your target. Why could that? I mentioned earlier that I think that could possibly be an advantage for Papa Murphy's. How could that possibly be an advantage? Because we've got one of the smallest budgets. Of the big five pizza places, we have by far the smallest budget. The top four have around 90% of all advertising spending. Well, and the remaining 10%, by the way, is fractured amongst literally hundreds of pizza chains, including us. So with a very small budget, how could the new world be an advantage to us? Well, earlier we were talking about what makes Papa Murphy's special and unique and how we're differentiated. And the fact is that Papa Murphy's is a very unique brand. We have the significantly higher quality ingredients I talked about. Pizza fresh out of your oven is a higher quality than not out of the oven. When you hear our story about why we don't have ovens in our stores, there's a story there. What I would say is we've been very, very thoughtful, I believe, about all elements of our business concept, and we've created a business model that's got a lot of depth to it. We don't win. We don't beat other pizza places because we yell louder than them. We beat other pizza places because the proof is in the taste of the product and in the overall quality of the product. So why, again, do I think this can be an advantage? Well, I've done a lot. I'm fascinated by consumers, and I'm fascinated by people, and I'm fascinated specifically by generations of people and what their tendencies are. And yes, I've studied the baby boomers, of which I'm kind of at the tail end of, but I'm actually more fascinated with the Gen X, Gen Y, and the millennial generation. And and I don't want to put them all in a box because they refuse to be put in a box. But when you study that those generations, what I think they have about them that much more than their parents and the generations that came before them is they have a real hunger for truth. Mm. They have a hunger for honesty. They have a hunger for genuineness. And they know how to get it, meaning that they don't say, well, I got to rely on the companies to tell me about their products and I'll sit back and wait for them to do that. They will actively, those generations will actively Google, research, go on the internet, find out information about your brand or your product before they purchase it or while they're even purchasing it, real time. And in fact, I've been in speaking engagements where I'll be out speaking to students. I just came from speaking to some students on campus. And it happens to me every time now. I'll speak on campus. And it used to be, when I spoke on campus back in the 80s, a professor would get up and he would introduce me. And he'd give him my background, my resume. And they would listen to that respectfully. And then I would speak to them. And now, professor goes and does, you know, gives a background to me. And almost immediately, I watch through the audience and iPhones and laptops are going, and they're Googling me in a lot of cases. I know that by the questions they ask, you know. They're asking very detailed, specific questions about me, which I love. It just shows that they're seeking the real truth and what's really going on with this individual. And so back to pizza, what I'd say is, in Papa Murphy's, I tell people, I know pizza and Domino's and Papa John's and Little Caesars very, very well. And they have a lot of good things about their brands. But what I like to say to people is, I think for particularly moms and dads and folks who are buying pizza for their families, that if you go research it and if you want to go get the facts and the learning on it, the more you'll learn and the more detail you go into and the more you go fact check and learn about why the competitors do what they do on their pizzas, I actually think maybe the less attracted you'll be. If you watch their 30-second commercial spots, you might be very attracted, but the more you learn, you might like those brands even less and less. The more you study and learn about Papa Murphy's and why we bring in whole block mozzarella cheese and grate it, and why we make our dough fresh, and why we spend extra money to slice all the vegetables and bring them in fresh, and why we spend more money on higher-end suppliers of our food and ingredients. It's hard to tell all that in a 30-second commercial, but when you've got more time with us and what social media allows you to do and what going on the internet and providing these web channels, instead of it being relegated to a 30-second spot, it gives people time that are curious, and I hope everybody is, to go on and learn more about why we do what we do. And why is it we don't have ovens? Because we don't want a big carbon footprint. We don't want to, you know, spend all that money on utilities that could go to, you know, be spent on food and ingredients. And I find if you ask millennials, if you ask Gen X and Gen Yers, overall why they choose what they choose, they're thoughtful about it. And they want to buy the socially responsible right product. They want to buy a product for what it is, what it says about them. And also they want to buy a product that's about the product itself. Like money that goes to profit margins and insurance and all that stuff kind of bores them. It's like, no, how much money did you put in the food? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Why are they attracted to farmers markets? Because farmers markets in the day, it's the food and nothing else. You know, and the food has to stand on its own. I call it the truth, the honesty, the integrity of the food. And so that's what we strive for at Papa Murphy's. And we've got a long ways to go yet. But our focus right now as we go forward is, how do I continue to be able to look at every ingredient on our menu and to be able to say, that's the highest quality that we possibly can produce and the highest quality we can give to the consumer for the lowest possible price. And that's a forever mission, you know, sure. to get that right. Yeah. But that's some of the values that we hold very dear at Papa Murphy's that we strive to hit.
That's good to hear because, you know, people are more than ever really asking those questions about where their food's coming from and, you know, does that contain antibiotics and is it coming from a factory farm?
That's right.
In Georgia.
That's right. So we try to provide the most transparency we can in our food supply as we possibly can. So one of those is, you know, things like, you know, well, our product is fresher. We'll prove it. Well, we got no freezers. You know, nothing in here is frozen. Everything's brought in fresh. So we have to make it today, mm-hmm. you know, because we can't store it. We got no freezers. And the transparency also, you'll see our newest stores that we're building right now, and we're in the process of just building our first new ones. And the new stores that we've designed, they're very different, and in that what we've done is we've made the make line, which is where all the ingredients, we've gone to very, very large make lines that have the most variety of ingredients you possibly can have, and it's right in front of the consumer. Very similar to Chipotle.
Yeah.
It's right in front. And then we've gotten rid of all, we used to have this big, I don't know, I always call it like a cafeteria sneeze guard type thing over the top of the entire make line. We've gotten rid of that, and we've just put a sheet of glass, a thin sheet of glass between you and the food. Which protects the food, you know, from consumers for that reason, but allows the consumers to look right through that glass, and the food is maybe only inches away from the consumer on the other side of the glass, and we've also brought a lot of the elements from the kitchen forward. People will walk in our stores and they'll say, "What is that? That old fashioned machine back there?" And I go, "Well, it's a Hobart mixer," and they're like, "What's a Hobart mixer do? What do you do with that?" "Well, it's a dough mixer." They kind of look at you and you go, they go, "You make dough here?" "Yeah." "Well, how many of those stores do that?" "Well, they all do. We make our dough fresh in our stores." So we're bringing that mixer, instead of hiding it in the back of the store, we're starting to put that up in the front. So people go, "Oh, you're mixing the dough here."
Yeah.
You know? And so we're, anything that we do in the stores, we're trying to provide a transparency and not hide anything from the consumer so they can see exactly what we're doing. So you almost feel like when you walk in the new Papa Murphy's, you're almost walking into someone's kitchen. You know, we really like that feel. The consumers tell us they really like it. It's an also very no-frills approach, though. We've kind of stripped down anything that isn't related to making food, we just kind of got rid of. We said, and so we're even trying to get rid of a lot of the marketing materials. You know, the big, instead of a big picture of a pizza, we go, "Get rid of the picture. Show the pizza." It's like, there it is. Buy that. You know, don't. You know, and so we're trying to do things like that to make it. We call it open kitchen transparency, food forward design. So your food, you lead with your food. You don't lead with your marketing. People care less about your words and they care more about what you actually do. And that's what we try to design the store around.
So talk a little bit about the connection to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And being headquartered here, and what are the reasons for staying here? What are the benefits of doing business, being headquartered in Southwest Washington?
Talk a little bit about that. Well, it's not a good question, and I would tell you a couple of things. I think that our roots go back to the Pacific Northwest. You know, we started in the Pacific Northwest part of the country, a little bit south of here. And the headquarters has now been in Vancouver for quite some time. But we see the Pacific Northwest, first of all, as being a great place to be headquartered. It's a, you know, it's got a great reputation, whether it's brands like Starbucks that have started out of here, or Nike, or brands that I will tell you that a lot of the Pacific Northwest brands are brands that I think are brands that really get to the core of whatever they do with a passion. You know, passion, whether that passion is fitness and winning with Nike, or that passion is coffee and connecting and
Burgerville.
Or Burgerville's a great example too. Yeah. And so the Pacific Northwest is just full of examples like that. And so I think we fit that very well. People call us best kept secret. I'll wear my Papa Murphy's, you know, shirt in the Pacific Northwest, and almost feel like a rock star. It's like, you know, get on an airplane and they're like, "Oh, Papa Murphy's," and, you know, "I love Papa Murphy's." When I get on that, when I'm out in the Plain States or in the Midwest or the Southeast, they'll be Papa Murphy's, you know, and "What is that?" And they'll be curious about it, and they'll go, "Is that brand's up? My friend that lives in Portland, they're always talking about, is it one of the?" And so we've got a little bit of a mystery associated with this, which I think is a good thing. We're kind of a Pacific Northwest brand. We don't spend a lot on advertising. We spend most of our money on food. So people, we're kind of like a best-kept secret out there, and I think that's good. Back to your question, though, in terms of, so I think that's a good, a nice reason to be here. But I'll also tell you that it's a very favorable business climate here. I think Washington, you know, the low taxes, it's easier to attract good talent to come to the area. I also believe that there's a real good source of talent here in the Vancouver, Washington, Portland, greater area. we found it very easy to find, you know, good talent, which is, you know, people who are younger folks that are coming right out of school with all the good, you know, great colleges that are here as well. And I know this is going to sound, I don't know, it's going to sound like a generalization, but Vancouver has a great small town feel to it, and the values associated with that. So it's an easy place to raise a family. You don't sit in traffic very long here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an easy place to live with a good solid cost of living. And we have found it. We've only been here 2 years, but we have found people here to be so welcoming. And I'm from Kansas, and small town Kansas. And I say it all the time, and I mean it as a compliment. People are very very approachable, very real. Mm-hmm. And they remind me. I didn't expect it. You know, I thought, well, going all the way from the Midwest to, you know, thousands of miles to the west to Oregon and Washington, it's going to be way different. And I've actually found it's beautiful. I love the it's different from a weather and a beauty perspective. And there's so many things to do outdoors wise. But I found the people to be very warm, very I hate to say it, but very Midwestern almost.
Sure,
in the
yeah.
way that they make connections and make friendships. So it's been real easy that way too. And that's an important point. You know, it's an mm-hmm. important point. It fits our company very well. I think our values, it's hard to almost separate Papa Murphy's values from those kind of values. We're a very hardworking group. It's a service company at the end of the day. So, you know, we're serving consumers, yes, and we're also serving franchise owners. You know, we have over 400 franchise owners, and we work every day to help them be profitable, to be able to make money for their families. And so that requires a service mentality, and that kind of serving and that kind of, you know, reaching out to others. We find that very much alive in this community, as well as it's very much a value of Papa Murphy's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So one thing that we like to do with these podcasts is to kind of get inside your head a little bit in terms of being a leader.
Yes.
So with that in mind, what would you say your leadership philosophy is? What motivates you, drives you?
If it's a single word, I would say that word would be serving. And if I was if it's a sentence, I would say it would be, you know, serving others with purpose and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our foundations at Papa Murphy's as well, one of our foundational core values. And but I believe it's all about serving, and I believe that for a lot of reasons. I basically, a lot of my, you know, inspiration for that came from my father, but it's a belief just fundamentally that I believe we're all here to serve others, and I believe that there's so much energy that comes from that, that if you truly reach out and find people in need, and you can figure out a way to help fulfill that need or fill that need in some way, there's incredible energy that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always found myself drawn to service businesses. And people say, well, gosh, Ken, you've been, you know, 25, 26 years in the food service business, so it must be food service that you really love. I almost turn those two words around. I'm really attracted to the service business, and it happens to be food, something people really need. And so I go kind of servicing people with food. And so I'm attracted to that, and I think great leadership comes from figuring out how to serve others, and then doing it first with yourself, and then trying to constantly look, and kind of the approach I take is, I feel like in leadership, it's you start with yourself on that, but then what you do is you look to your whole team. You figure out what the needs are out there of the public, what they really need, and then you look at your own team and you try to do as best you can. What are the gifts that each of my team has? What are the gifts that they have? What are their abilities? What are the gifts and what are the abilities of this brand? And I think as a leader, my job is only to connect those two. It's, oh great, I've got a team that's capable of doing these great things. How do I connect what they're good at to a real need out there in the marketplace? And the more efficiently I can connect, the more connections I can make there, the more successful you can be. And so you're more of almost a facilitator as a leader mm-hmm. to connect those two. And I've been drawn to, I started, my first job was when I was 12, and I started mowing yards. and I just mowed a couple of yards, and I did my best job I could. And those people, one was a doctor, and he started recommending me to all his patients. And so I started mowing his patients, and I started mowing the nurses that were in his office's yard, and then other doctors. And my business just multiplied over and over again. And people said, well, you mow yards. That's in the hot Kansas sun, and it's repetitive, and monotonous. How could you do that? And I always loved it. And I said, well, I don't just mow yards. By the time I'd done it for, you know, years and years and years, I did it for over 10 years, I developed that lawn business, and I got to know mostly it was older people who couldn't mow the yard themselves, mm-hmm. and grandparents and empty nesters, and I mowed their yards, and I got to know them. And then I got to know their families, and I got to know them sometimes better than their own kids got to know them, and I found other ways to serve them. It's like, well, could you also help me over here with washing this car? Or could you help me watch my house when I'm on vacation? Or could you help me up the stairs? Or could you help me? And you became part of their lives, you know? And, you know, one of the hardest things I ever did was to leave that lawn business to go to college, to go to graduate school. I realized I'd become kind of part of those families with those people because I had just constantly, daily figured out, what do they need from me and what can I do and help provide for that? And it was, I got energy from that. And people would say, well, how can you mow yards 7 days straight, some days 13 hours a day? Because it's, you know, nobody can do that for a long period of time for just money. You know, it's not motivating. I mean, at a certain point, it's like, you know, it's just more of that. I mean, so money's going to stop motivating you. You know, you got to find something else deeper. And for me, it's always been serving and finding those needs, finding people in need and serving them. For us, we got needs, consumer needs that we fulfill at Papa Murphy's, bringing people around, as I mentioned earlier, helping them to have a great dinner time together as a family and being the center of that. We also have needs of our franchise owners. What's cool about our business is, what I love about franchise businesses, we have got example after example of people who, in some cases, literally, they just came to this country and they've worked their way up to maybe washing dishes in a fast food restaurant, and now they want to work and, you know, maybe step up from there to start to making pizzas. And we've got some of those people that have gone from that to making pizzas, from there to learning to be working the cash register, from there to learning to be a shift supervisor, from there to being a manager, and from there learning to be an owner of a store. And it's truly the great American dream to own your own business. And what does my team do here in Vancouver? We largely help those franchise owners, provide that career path for them, and allow them to be able to provide for their families, and then do it all over again, repeat. And we have, you know, 1,360 stores across the country. We have over 400 of those franchise owners whose families depend upon this business. It's easy to get up every day and say, hey, if I do my job well, those people are able to make a better living, put their kids in better schools, provide jobs for more people. That'll get you up every morning.
No kidding, yeah. Well, so what do you do to unwind?
Yeah, to unwind, my favorite things are probably, you know, I got a 16-year-old son, and so hanging out with my son and my wife, just, you know, hanging with them. That we're all outdoors people and pretty active. So my son's a big swimmer, so loved to swim. Kind of grew up doing biking and running marathons and doing triathlons, so I still like to bike and run occasionally, and we're in the Mecca for that. So
yeah, exactly.
It's the Pacific Northwest. It doesn't get any better than this. So I love the... you know, when I can, to get out for a bike ride or to get out for a run, and just get a chance to kind of clear your head and relax that way. It's mostly active things, you know, mm-hmm. not mentally active, but physically active things mm-hmm. is probably what I enjoy most.
Yeah, that's great. So excited about the future?
Definitely. Very excited. I am. We are, some of the things I said, we're a real quality brand focused on quality ingredients. People are seeking that out now more than ever before. People mm-hmm. are reading ingredient labels more than they ever did. People are realizing how hard it is to have good family time. And the chance to gather on a pizza, gather on, is something people, it's in demand. People are seeking out, and particularly, as I said earlier, the Gen Xers, Gen Yers, and the millennials are really seeking out more information about why they purchase certain products and food. And as I said, for the earlier reasons, I said, that's an advantage. That's a positive to us. So our biggest challenge is just getting the word out of who we are. We're the sleepy little brand. I'll go to the east part of the country, East Coast, and people say, Papa Murphy's, what is that exactly? And that just kills me, you know. It's the great news is that the longer we've been someplace, so the markets where we've been the longest are our most successful markets, our most profitable markets. So some of the most profitable markets in the country for us are Portland and Seattle and Boise, Idaho, and Salt Lake City, Utah. The markets we've been in the longest, we do the best. Mm. And I always say to people, that should be a really good indication of our future, right? Because I know brands out there, I won't mention them, but there are brands out there that the longer they've been in a place, actually the worse their results are. And you might ask, well, why? Well, if I'm not producing a quality product, and I've ticked you off a number of times because I haven't delivered on time or I don't provide a quality product, you now say, I've tried them, I don't like them, I'm not going back. That's worse than not ever having heard of you in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always tell my team, I said, you know, when I meet somebody new, I'm always curious when I meet them, what do the people who know that person best say about them? Mm-hmm. What does their wife or their kids say about them? Because if that's a real positive, the people who know them best and known them longest love them, then hey, that person must be a quality individual that you want to get to know. That's what I want our brand to be. The longer you've gotten to know us, the more you like us. And mm-hmm. so time is on our side, and I believe that, you know, our challenge is to go to these new markets and to get the word out of what Papa Murphy's is and why they should try us. Because once they try us, we usually do pretty well in getting them back again.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's really about telling your story. And I think that a lot of businesses out there, whatever industry they're in, I mean, that's a huge, you want to succeed, tell your story.
That's right. And staying true to your story. It's so easy to get distracted. I know that, you know, constantly people will say, what are you doing new? What are you doing different? The competition's doing this. What are you doing? And you need to be observant. You need to pay attention. You need to be very tuned into what the competition is doing and what consumers are doing and how they're changing. But I think there's some truths that are time-tested, that are classics, and I think that will stand the test of time. And I think there's always room in any category for the highest quality. I think there's always room for that. I think if you're the second or third best quality or somewhere in between, that's a scary place to be. I think there's always room in every category for who does it for the lowest price, too. But the middle category, kind of low price, not a good place to be. I always think there's room in a category for the most convenient, mm-hmm. but kind of convenient, not that great. So what I say in pizza category is, based on the surveys we've done with, you know, Zagat, their survey that they've done, Zagat, Consumer Reports, NPD Crest, Nation's Restaurant News, and WD Partners, Sandelman Associates, you go through all the surveys, consumers have said, man, Papa Murphy's is the highest quality pizza, best tasting pizza, the pizza I'd most recommend to my friends and family. That's what we've got to continue to own. I don't want to be ever number two in that, or I don't even want to be close to number, I don't care about, we're so used to being number one in that, I don't even measure whether we're number one. I go, how many points above the number two guy are we? I want to be 20 points above them. You know, we're right now 10 to 12 points. So people really say, we have a term at work that's craveable. Product is good? No, okay, it's good. Is it great? No, okay, it's great. I want it to be craveable. And I think if I asked you, you know, I said, what's a food item to you that's craveable? You just almost don't even have any control. You love it so much. Mm-hmm. For me, there's three or four Papa Murphy's pizzas that are that way for me. I mean, when they come out of the oven, I can't help myself. Ben and Jerry's Heath Bar Crunch ice cream. I got no control, man. When that ice cream's there, I'm going to eat it till it's gone. And we want our pizzas to be craveable, for people to really say, it's not just pizza, it's wow, it's Papa Murphy's, you know, and that requires a lot of investment of time and resources to drive that. And so excited about the future, because I think in any category there's room for the folks that stand for quality above all else.
Yeah. Great, Ken. Well, I think we'll end it there. Thanks for coming in today.
Great. Thank you. Enjoyed meeting with you.
And thank you to all our listeners. This is Nicholas Shannon Colmack with the Vancouver Business Journal. This has been another VBJ podcast.